Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
Good morning, Vietnam!
And Laos.
Yeah, and we're Laos. All excited because we were kind of digging through our little Vibe Tribe map, and it's kind of cool. What are some of the one? I just always got to give a shout out to Iceland, guys. I love you all equally, but Iceland's just cool. There's something I don't know. You know what? When Ryan and I blow up, we're actually going to do a live show in every country that supports us. That's our goal. How cool would that be?
Yeah, but there's none of this non-drinking shit or diet shit.
Well, it's got to be after 2022.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna just take in the culture and live the dream, man.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It'll be like the podcast version of Jackass International. We will participate in local customs.
We don't even want to stay at hotels. Why don't you just email us? We'll bunk with you guys.
Yeah, we're going to do the backpacker version of this. We're just going to crash at people's places, maybe a creepy hostel where we get kidnapped by the Russian mob for a night, and then we podcast them, and they're like, oh, these guys are cool. Let them go.
Yeah, it's like, why would you kidnap the Big Lebowski? It's like,
Let them go. They're cool. They're going to put us on the show, man. It's free press. But no, what were some of the other ones? Senegal popped up, Morocco.
Yeah, Algeria.
Sweden's representing Jagvila Fita. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweden. I'm telling you, the UK, you got to watch your back, man. They're coming up on your six. The Swedes are growing here.
So. Yeah. A lot of love from Europe, but really everywhere. I mean, Africa, Asia. It's so crazy to see.
It is. It's really
very
nice.
Humbling. And thank you guys, by the way. I know we tease and joke, but it really, it's mind blowing when you look at that map. Yeah. It's just so great. And all the feedback. I do have some good emails to get to, some good questions towards the end of the show. So okay. I kind of sifted through that earlier. Sometimes I just forget or space it, or like we've been excited about this topic that we have for a few days. And so it's hard to remember. Oh yeah. See if there's any emails. So.
Well, also too, there's a couple of things. Clark and I are always appreciative of y'all buying Good Vibes merchandise. Like we said, it really helps support the show and keeps us going, pays the bills. So please continue. We really do appreciate that. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm excited for a halftime show, being, you know, it's old school, you know,
stuff
like that.
Old school rap dudes, man. That's so cool.
Yeah. Are you making anything? I'm going to make I'm making homemade wings. So I'm just making like fucking three dozens. Like I'm going for it.
Nice. No, we actually going to have some downtime because, my kid's going to her friend's house because they're having a Super Bowl get together. And so she wants to kind of see what it's about and swimming pool party. And it's fun.
Wow.
The thing I always enjoyed more so than the Super Bowl, especially if your team's not in it, you're like, fun is the get togethers. Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of barbecuing and
hell yeah, play some squares. You
know, yeah, it's fun. I always enjoyed if I had a buddy kicking off a good party, regardless of the game. Yeah. You know, because oftentimes it's not your team. I'm a Broncos fan, so we don't make it there very often. Yeah. So,
hey, man, I grew up Detroit, so the Lions. Come on.
Yeah, but you guys have the what is it, every Thanksgiving or whatever?
Oh yeah, we play the either the Bears or Packers or that's good stuff. Also, happy Valentine's Day to the tribe tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Get this.
I love birds out there.
You want to see my Valentine's Day gift? You're gonna love this. Are you ready?
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
That's cool. What is it, though? What is it
this
like?
This is the Bob Ross.
Little happy breath little, mints or something?
Happy little tree mints. Look at these little guys. They're trees.
Oh, that is so cool.
How awesome is this?
That is cool. That's what I thought. It was a little box of mints.
You know, and the reason I was like, oh, shit, Clark just had his energy drink. I'm like,
I still got it right here. I don't know if I got to show everybody. Check out the little Bob Ross energy drink my daughter got for me somewhere. I'm like, dude, that's so good. I felt like a happy little tree after I drank it.
You know what? There's a documentary on Netflix, and it's supposed to be, I guess his family or whatever has totally, you know, taken his name and exploited it. I haven't seen it yet. But
he got screwed over. Well, it talked about even the business side of it.
That's terrible.
Oh, he's just such a nice guy, and he just wanted to paint. He didn't really give a shit about the business side, and just, I mean, He just poor dude. And then when he was going, you know, fighting his cancer and
the parasites come out, bro.
Yeah, he was trying to do his own thing, but then that's when his health was failing. And poor guy,
I still dig it. I'm telling you, man. At least
meanwhile, Hillary Clinton will live forever. I don't get it. Why did you have to take Bob Ross, Lord? Come on. Come on. We need more Bob Rosses, less Hillary's. Come on.
Hillary's a vampire. I'm convinced she's a vampire.
She's coming back for 2024, bro. Wow.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I hope that's a joke. You know,
I just had a Wayne's World flashback, dude. They always were making that noise.
Squiddly-doo.
We're kind of like the modern day version of them dudes, right?
Oh, completely. But, you know, we do have a great topic that we want to get into today. You know, we want to talk about beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. You know, kind of it's crazy and things get crazier and that's cool. But we thought let's put a good vibe spin to it. Let's talk about modern day survival. Not just, you know, learning to build shit with sticks and some of Clark's background and knowledge going through Sears and other stuff, but also, you know, some maybe some financial survival, mental survival, you got community survival, you know, mobile. There's a lot of things going on here, and we just thought it'd be fun to shoot the shit about it. So Mr. Clark here, you're, you know, Mr. Military here, but also, let's face it, back in the day, it was cool to do Cub Scouts. We were both scouts.
Yeah, I was a Cub Scout, man. I got kicked out of Cub Scouts, so my career got cut short, but I did have fun. You build those little race cars that you drop down the ramps and things like that. It was fun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Was it Wolf Patch and Bear Patch? And I remember all the, oh, dude, I loved it.
Like I said before, I left when they said, welcome to Weeblow. I was like, it's not for me.
Yeah, sorry. We were excited talking about this. You know, we have a list of topics we want to get to, or sometimes we'll kick around an idea throughout the week. And we just thought it would be kind of fun to start in the roots of survival, but we don't want to stay there too long. We want to talk about where we're at now. Last couple of years have been kind of weird, right? Not normal. Things that we're thinking about today, 5 years ago, we would have labeled people, oh, you're just one of those weird prepper dudes doomsday guy. Well, now people are like, fuck, do I need to have like a stash of fucking non-perishables in the garage? Or, you know, how to...
Oh, yeah.
So, and are things going to get better? Or are they going to continue to get worse? Like, what's 5 years from now going to look like? We don't know, but we thought we would cover the spectrum of survival stuff, whether you find yourself out in the woods. I can share some, you know, military stories from Sears School, but like Ryan said, there's all kinds of financial survival and, you know, mobility. If things go to shit, how are you going to get from A to B? Do you have a plan? And so we thought we would just kind of cover it, but there's some shenanigans involved.
Yeah, anyway. Let's start from the top. Let's start from the, you know, obviously, you've been to Sears School, but then also there's additional training that you take on based on your, you know, your operating environment, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't you share some of this prime knowledge with the tribe? I mean, it's like talking to Yoda.
Yeah, well, I love being outdoors. Just growing up in Colorado helped a lot. I've always been very comfortable outdoors. And so one of the things that the military will do for you if you're in any type of infantry-ish unit, you know, whether you're a grunt or in spec ops or a ranger or whatever, you spend a lot of time in the field, whether it's the desert, the jungle, the woods, things like that. And so I loved that portion of it just because I grew up in the foothills of Pikes Peak and just absolutely was out and about all day with my BB gun playing army guy and running around with my dog. And so I enjoyed that part of it. And it was a really simple concept. They told us in BUDS, when you go into third phase, which is your land warfare phase, which I loved because you're finally out of the fucking water most of the time. God. Well, enough of this shit. When are we going to shoot guns? This is bullshit. Yeah. It's not what the picture on the pamphlet looked like.
I don't want to be on the swim team, guys.
Yeah. Gee, fucking Michael Phelps. Jeez, man. What an asshole. So anyway, I loved it. And one thing that they told us, which I really resonated with me, is we're going to teach you to become the human animal. And I really was like, wow, kind of blew my mind. Hmm. And they give a lot of classes on different things. And one of them was, you know, we've become weak as modern men, as modern humans. Everything we do is so freaking comfortable and climate controlled. And from the chairs we sit on to the vehicles we drive. And it goes so against hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years of evolution.
Sure.
And we're going to teach you how to become the human animal. And I really like that concept. I think
that is very cool.
One, and they did tell us that we have that shit programmed in us. You drop most people off in the middle of the woods, they're going to start figuring shit out.
All right.
And so what those basic things are is people will start figuring out how to build a shelter. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you need some type of shelter. You need some type of water source, food source. Now, you have to prioritize these things. And it really depends on where you are and then what's your purpose, what's your mission. So, obviously, if I'm, you know, stranded in mild climate like Northern California, like right now, it's, you know, 64 degrees, you know, and it does get down into the 40s at night, but that's very different. Shelter might not be my immediate priority, you know, but obviously if I'm lost in Alaska somewhere and it's snowing, I'm not going to survive very long without shelter. So you got to figure something out, whether it's digging a snow cave or whatever. So don't take everything we're saying super literal. A lot depends on these, you know, what if scenarios. We just had a wonderful what if episode. So the basics of it that people need to survive is, you know, food, shelter, water, clothing, things like that. An important part of survival, I don't want to skip ahead though, is people need people and people need humor. And so they would even teach us, like in SEER school, there's a huge morale piece to that. You know, you have to somehow kind of entertain each other, communicate with each other. Oftentimes, if you get caught, there's a heavy price to pay. But your mental survival in these situations, the toughest situation to survive would be alone. We need that interaction. But let's just say some weird scenario, it's you and your family. Well, as the head of the family, it's also your job to kind of, I don't want to say entertain them, but keep spirits up, keep morale high.
Sure.
Keep it positive. A lot of people will tend to be very negative.
But that also applies to today. Situations. I mean, look at all the, the negativity we're seeing in your communities or on the news.
Bombarded by it.
That. Exactly. So
especially the news, social media. That's why we keep our podcast pretty light most of the times. My social media is pretty light most of the times. Yes, there's a time and a place to be serious and talk about stuff. But if you're ever in the survival situation, and even if you're by yourself, I would say it's more important to keep your positivity, your mental health, your morale up than anything. Because if you lose that, you're not even thinking right. But if you're thinking, you know, what was it like that soccer team or whatever? Remember that movie Alive that crashed in the Andes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
and they had to eat each other and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you're in that situation, a big piece of that's keeping morale up. And it's hard because people are injured, people are hungry, people are scared. But part of that is the communication of it. If you have these survival skills wherever you're at, you have to take a leadership role and you have to say, guys, this is how we're going to survive it. And the mental piece, the morale piece is a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
And then maybe every night before you guys crash out, you have a tradition that you do. Okay, everybody tell a funny story from your childhoods. Go ahead. You know what I mean? These are little tips and tricks that we did to get through buds, constantly fucking with each other, constantly clowning around. And you'll see that with military guys in general. We have very inappropriate sense of humor, but that's how we get through the tough times. You know, I mean, there's a thing overseas that the guys will know about. It's called your combat jack. Can you masturbate during combat or in a combat zone? And it's just funny because all of a sudden everyone's kind of giggling and they're like, fuck's going on? Like, oh, fucking Billy's over there whacking off. And you're like, seriously? But it's funny. Yeah. Like, it's a big morale piece. And then if he's successful, you're like, yeah, he got his combat jack. You know, I mean, it's stupid shit. But to masturbate somewhere dangerous when you're somewhere dangerous is funny as shit.
Wait a second. But speaking of the masturbation and the jack, you're pretty infamous within the SEER school. I hear rumors.
Through buds. Well, and SEER school as well, too. Yeah, yes.
We heard the bud story, but I do believe there's a Sears jack you accomplished.
There is. And that is the morale piece that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so my little SEAL buddies, we weren't quite SEALs yet. We were still buds. Buds dudes. We weren't buds dudes. We graduated buds. We were all at our teams. And SEER school is a school they'll throw you to kill some time while you're in probation and you're waiting for STT, SEAL Tactical Training, which is now SQT. And so a bunch of us got sent to SEER school, and being only a few months, you know, away from Buds, you know, they still had to like, dude, are you going to be able to own Sears School? And I'm like, of course, dude, this is way too easy, man. Well, unfortunately, it would have been way too easy during the LANNAV phase where it's like you and your buddy or two, you're out there just making LANNAV points and stuff. And I waited until we went to the Resistance Training Lab, the RTL, which is the prison camp.
Yeah.
Figure that's a formidable foe, not just walking around looking for shit in the woods. Like, that's too easy. So it's a little embarrassing looking back on it, but there was this female Marine that was in our class. And she was an intel. So back then, to qualify for Sears school, you had to have a job that would require you to operate behind the enemy lines. So pilots, special operations, intel folks. So we had this female Marine. And the funny thing is, when we were in the clashing phase, I'm like, oh, she's kind of nasty looking. But I tell you what, after about 4 days of being in the field, she looked like fucking Bo Derek, man. I was like, damn, she's fucking hot, man. Where has she been? You know what I mean? Like. And it was funny because we hadn't showered in weeks and we all looked all nasty and her hair was all rat's nest. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, we did caveman shit, dude. It was just like, oh, we were all looking at her.
Is that animalistic, poor girl, man? You're getting her
well,
scent?
Imagine how she felt. Oh, dude, yeah, you could smell her and you can smell people. When you're in the woods long enough, you can smell another human, especially if they're like a backpacker that maybe has some cologne on or just recently showered. You can smell the soap. Like, holy shit. That's why in Vietnam, the Vietnam era SEALs would even eat local food because the enemy could smell Americans. Yeah. The sweat. Absolutely. They'd wear pajamas. They'd eat local food. They'd wear sandals so they can't track the military boot footprints and stuff. And so I remember reading about that stuff early on. I'm like, damn, that's pretty smart. Well, being in Sears School was the first time I was in the field long enough and dirty enough that you could smell the instructors because they were cleaner than us. Hmm. And they were rotating in on shifts. And dude, you could smell them fuckers even before you heard them. You just felt like a little deer at the pond. You're all... I don't know if our viewers could see that one, but you're just looking around and you're all perched up and you're like, oh, shit. You just feel like a little deer and some bears creeping around. But anyway, so as time went on, this poor gal became the victim of my accomplishments, I guess is the best way to put it. So embarrassed. I'd probably get in trouble nowadays for this year. I'd probably get kicked out. But anyway, we got put in these little, there was like a row of boxes that faced each other, concrete, fucking cement boxes, whatever. And there was like a little piece of wood you had to sit on with your legs crossed and your hand on your knees. And there was a Folgers coffee can in there. And that was it. Little piece of wood, Folgers coffee can. And a little, if you had to pee or poop or whatever, you could roll this little tarp down. And you'd have privacy to do your business.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude, this chick is in the little box right across from me. And I thought, visual buddy.
Micro Jack Shack.
Yeah. So I rolled down my little private little thing that rolls down from the top. And I put my little coffee can there. And so you have to have like kind of a little bag above your head. And you're supposed to anyway. But people are always lifting it up. And like I chewed a hole in mine so I could peek through it. And so, yeah, sure as shit, man. I was kind of peeking out of my curtain. And, you know, I mean, she looked hot. She's all dirtied up. Got a little naughty hood over her. Like she's a little ISIS prisoner. And, you know, whatever. You just see a little thing going on. And so I do my business. Obviously, previously, you know, I had peed in this little Folgers coffee can and stuff. And so I'm on this mission to own Sears School, and I do it. Success, bro. I'm so excited. And you know, I'm sure I had a little hand signal or whatever to tell my buddies. So everyone's all pumped, at least the future team guys that are there, the NSW guys that are there. And so everyone's all cool. Well, every now and then they have you go to this pit and dump your piss or shit out into this pit. And so you line up with your coffee can. Not even thinking about it, but I looked down and the floater's in there, dude.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, I got real nervous. I'm like, dude, if an instructor walks by and sees that.
Goose, too.
They might boot me out for being like mentally not stable. Like, dude, you masturbated in the prison camp? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm like, high dude, fives.
It's a little game that we play. It's a Buds thing. So anyway, thank God. Got to the little pit, dumped it out. But a lot of people are like, there's no way, especially in the RTL, because you're supposed to be. And it might sound sick to people listening out there, but that's military shit. That's humor shit. That's also survival shit. little act of me whacking off in Sears School at least made all the other NSW guys there happy as fuck for a moment. And their partners, them explaining to them, like, what are you laughing at? What's so funny? Like, oh, fucking Impostado's got this thing where everywhere he goes, he's going to own it. And then so then they're like, because they're like helicopter dudes, you know,
right?
The class leader was an F-18 pilot. Like, they hear this shit and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But for a moment, morale was at an all-time high. And so
I love that.
You're offended and don't understand it, well, you've never been to Sears School, so.
What are some of the things that were, like, imprinted in your mind, like some quick tips, you know, like, you know, favorite shelter or maybe the best way to start a fire, things like that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of books out there. Mm-hmm. We'll recommend some at the end. Yep. But, you know, there had to be some things that were just imprinted as like, boom.
There is. And, you know, a lot of it. It kind of struck me as to how simple of a concept it is. And a lot of it reminded me of shit I did as a kid. I was always building tree forts, always stacking sticks up in like a bush that had a little.
Yeah.
So basically what they teach you is the first thing they kind of teach you in the field, other than navigation, which is an important skill to have, but how to build a shelter, especially if you're going to be stuck somewhere for a while, like those dudes, the airplane crash and stuff. So do you have the inside of a vehicle, or in those guys' case, in the plane crash, part of the fuselage? Like, sometimes nature will, or a situation will already give you a shelter or a partial shelter.
Right.
You want to use as little energy as possible. So if you have, like, an abandoned car right there, why would you build some badass fucking
right
tree fort or whatever? So for us, first thing they did is, in this scenario, we parachuted in. So you have your parachutes. They showed us several ways to use the material from that to build different shelters. The, my all-time favorite's the lean-to. Very easy to do. You know, you got two trees that stand up kind of like goalposts. You tie a stick across, and then you start leaning against it. And it's, you have to figure out which way the wind is coming, because you want the lean-to to block the wind if that's a factor, things like that. And so there's some geography to it. Also, maybe if there's a road you're trying to stay invisible from, you obviously don't want the exposed side facing the road. So there's some common sense stuff that I won't get into the weeds about. But just a quick lean-to is so fucking easy.
Yeah.
Also, don't sleep on the ground. Even if it's a matter of just putting a bunch of small twigs and leaves on it, you make some bedding. Huge difference to have some type of buffer between your body and the ground, because the ground in a cold environment will suck your body heat out and you'll just be miserable.
Oh, yeah.
All night. They did allow us to carry what we call a space blanket, which folds up in your pocket. One side's green and one side's kind of like silver aluminum foilish color.
Right.
And it traps your body heat real quick. So, you know, to this day, I still have that as part of my vehicle kit.
Oh, yeah.
In case I ever get a flat tire driving to Colorado and it's, you know, cold, at least you can wrap up in that, you know. So building shelters.
No whoopee. They didn't give you any whoobies.
No whoobies.
No whoobies.
Just that space blanket was the Sear whoobie. So that's the part I enjoyed. They also taught us how to build underground fires so you can't see a visible flame. Obviously, at night, a flame above ground is going to be seen forever.
Sure.
How to be quiet, noise discipline. You know, if you're in an area you shouldn't be, how to be quiet. That's not always a factor. Sometimes you want to be heard. They did tell us about different types of signaling for help, things like that. So it was a lot of eye-opening stuff. They taught us about the rules of three. You can go 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, and 3 minutes without air. So that was kind of an interesting concept. I never really thought of it before. So is food a priority? Not right away. You can go a while without food. The first thing is, if you're not mobile, I would think of a shelter and then a water source. If you are mobile and say, hey, I got to hike out of here, obviously shelter isn't going to be a priority until maybe it gets dark and you have to lay up somewhere and you make just a quick lean-to. Sometimes you just sleep on some bedding under the stars. Maybe it's not cold. Maybe you're lost in Yellowstone in the summertime and it's still 70 degrees out. And you're like, ah, whatever, I'll just throw down some, just lay in the dirt or what. I mean, whatever. Shelter is not always a priority. So that type of stuff was very interesting to me. Also, if I am going to try to eat something, because we went without food for a little over 2 weeks, I think it was. And so you're starting to get hungry. What I will say about that is after about 3 days, your body, the hunger will shut down. You can easily fight through it. Your body just is okay. We're not getting any.
Right. It starts depleting the
nourishment. It starts to eat on itself. Internally. And so one thing I found interesting is if you don't know if something's edible or not, how do you deal with it? Well, what they told us to do is, let's say you find a berry. You find a bush that has berries on it. You're like, oh, fuck, those look really good. What do? Well, you take it on the back of your hand and you rub it and you wait 30 minutes, approximately 30 minutes. And if there's no rash or any irritation, you're like, okay. So they have you rub it on your lip and then wait 30 minutes. If there's no irritation or swelling, just to kind of put it on your tongue, wait a little bit. If there's no irritation or stingy or feels weird, then eat a little bit of it and wait. And so that's kind of a good fail-safe way. You should study the environment you're going into. If you're going into a normal environment, we always had the floral and fauna part of our brief, you know, what kind of snakes, bears, don't eat this fucking poison ivy, whatever. But if you don't know, that's just a good catch-all tip on how to do stuff. So I found that very interesting. They taught us how to navigate, you know, with using the stars, using the sun, how to build a sundial, how to use your watch if you have an analog watch with little hands, how you can use that as a compass. But I usually use the sun or the stars is pretty fucking easy. Obviously, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. So when the sun's coming up in the morning, you know, hey, that's where fucking New York's at. You know, I want to go south. I want to go north. I want to go west. I'm going to go whatever it is. So that's a good basic, you know, compass. Yeah, and then at night you can find the North Star and things like that. So some of that stuff I knew, some of it I didn't. But what I did like is I've never pushed myself that hard as far as lack of food. We didn't sleep well. You know, you're kind of freaked out because you got dudes looking for you once you're on the evasion course, portion of the course.
Yeah.
So basically, I would definitely have some basic knowledge of that stuff. Everything, because you just never know if you find yourself in that situation. So anyway, SAS Survival Guide's a good book, things like that. I think Ryan and I, towards the end of it, will recommend some other things.
No, definitely for the
details. But that's just a good, as far as building a fire, dude, real quick, because I don't want to get stuck too long on any one topic, but building a fire is a bitch. It's not easy. They made us do the little with the bow and the thing and the piece of wood. And I mean, you are burning calories, dude, which if you're not eating is dangerous. Rubbing wood together for fire takes a while and you got to get certain type of woods and it's got to be in certain type of environment. What I recommend, and I still carry this in part of my kit with a space blanket, is called a mag block. And it's just this, you can get them on Amazon. You can get them at Walmart. You can get them at any REI. Usually like $5, and it's just this block of magnesium that has a flint strip on it.
Yep.
And so you take your knife and you just shave off little shavings of magnesium, and then you hit that flint part with your knife and it sparks it, and it's fucking
and it's not amazing. Expensive either.
Yeah. Or carry a Zippo with you or whatever, but a mag block and a knife you should always have.
Well, what's interesting too is on the movies, and you know they're always showing the friction fires.
Oh, especially with the hand and the stick. Yeah. Oh my god.
What people don't realize is
it takes forever.
Well, also more people get injured.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's the last thing you want is an open wound while you're trying to survive.
Well, that and you're burning calories, and yeah, even the stick thing, your hands get all fucked up, and
yeah.
I know in the Rambo movies, whatever, after about 3 seconds that fire starts, but in reality. hours. Yeah. And your hands hurt, your back hurts from kind of hunched over, and
go try a friction fire. Try
it. Yeah, dude, go in the backyard, get two sticks and rub them together and call me in the morning. We'll see if you got a fire going.
Yeah, so,
but next a little thing like that. And also, I think we'll get more into mobility in modern stuff, but some type of light source helps, you know, some type of flashlight, a mirror is good. You can reflect off the sun, or even, you know, to start a fire, like we used to do burning ants as a kid, a little magnifying glass.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah.
If you're in a sunny environment. So it depends. You know, this is just general terms. And so, Ryan and I wanted to start in the military, like kind of some basic survival.
Some Brillo pads and some batteries will start a fire.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool tricks and there's a lot of videos out there.
Yep.
And I would recommend you get familiar with this stuff because you just never know on a road trip or.
Well, that's the point. That's whatever. Why we want to talk about it. I mean, part of being responsible, you know, in today's age is, and again, we talked about on how growing up in the 80s, it was like the Goonies lifestyle, right? It was building mm-hmm. the forts and there was yeah. no training. It was just like instinct. Natural instinct and making spears bow and arrows. It was doing cool shit, but you know, it's still important to get out there and do these things and even practice, or even if you don't want to, leading to our next topic is the mobility. It's make sure you at least have a basic bag, you know, to bug out or
bug out
or to
bag go in your car. Yeah. Even if you're just going to work, going to the store, know how to change a tire. How many young people don't know how to change a tire? And specifically with your vehicle, where's the jack located? Maybe it's a used vehicle and you didn't even know. I don't even have a car jack. Can't even get my car up to take the wheel off.
Yeah.
So know how to change a tire. Basic stuff like that, but have a bug out bag just in case, you know, like I work in some remote places. I damn right. I have a bug out bag.
Hell yeah.
I might be walking 20 miles till I get a phone signal.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you could go Google. There's very basic stuff. I mean, again, you got to have something to control bleeding. You got to have something to keep you warm. You got to have light. You got to have,
especially if you're road tripping. What if you and the family are going across country to visit grandma or whatever?
And
it's winter time and you're driving through the Midwest. Do you have blankets in the car? Do you have signaling devices? You know what I mean?
Well, look, what was it? It was around Christmas. You remember the bad storm that came out east and all those people that were in traffic for like the turn or the highway shut down for like 15 hours plus?
Yeah. Do you have some spare water in there? You know what I mean?
That's
make
exactly
people comfortable.
Right.
Maybe some sneaky snacky, some non-perishables, just some power bars.
And,
you know?
I think the purpose why Clark and I want to discuss these subjects today and get into some other things is a lot of people have lost their way because of the creature comforts. Everything is very comfortable now. If you want food, boom, order it. Or, you know, fast food. If you want this, boom, push a button. If this, and it's actually probably doing more damage to us as humans.
It's making us soft. Well, do you think 100 years ago there were still people riding horses and shit?
That's
the 1920s, you know what I mean?
Just people are still that's fucked up.
Out in the elements, right? How many people aren't even conditioned to be outside because they go from, let's say, I know in the summers in Arizona, you go from an air-conditioned house to an air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned office, back to an air-conditioned car, back to an air-conditioned house. How many people even get the environment on them? And you and I have talked about lifestyle stuff in other episodes about getting outside, even just exposure. Is a huge part of it.
Fuck.
We used to have mandatory sun time when we were on ship, and everyone used to make fun of us. Oh, the SEALs are just out there suntanning. Hey, so we're stuck down below these decks, like four stories deep in this dark air-conditioned space. What happens if we're there for 2 weeks and all of a sudden we get a mission? The fucking atmosphere is going to kill us.
Yeah.
The heat, the humidity, whatever it is. Modern people don't even like being outside. They don't. Especially if you're in a warm environment or a cold environment, you got to let your body get used to that. And so, but there are things you can do, like what you're saying in your bug out bag. If you're going to road trip it or even your day to day travels, have something. Always have a couple bottles of water in a duffel bag with a couple power bars and a blanket and a flashlight, things like that.
Yes.
They help out. A little headlamp, maybe, because if you got to change a tire in the dark,
and a tourniquet.
Check something. The tourniquets are valuable.
Yep.
Even other stuff, just regular band-aids and stuff, or just regular cuts. You
but
know?
Not only that, it's like that's the good vibes, good deeds moment. There's been plenty of times where, you know, at least I would say maybe twice a year where that bag comes out of the truck because someone maybe has a bad laceration.
What if you roll up on a car accident?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened last summer. A kid took a nasty spill on the sidewalk, and you know, he's bleeding like no tomorrow. So again, you got some quick clot, right?
Yeah.
And at least just attend to the wound until, you know, his mom or dad or some, you know, maybe if it's so bad that the medics need to come. But you know, why wouldn't you do the good deed and go help a fellow citizen?
Well, and take some courses. There's a lot of you know, TCCC or whatever courses and stuff. And one thing I don't want to forget about is, and this is a no-brainer, but I didn't really realize this until I was a cop, know where you're at all times, or at least have an idea so that if there's an accident, you roll up on the highway, what are you going to tell 911? I'm on the 5 North. Okay, where?
Yeah.
So the one thing I pay attention to is mile markers. Hey, I'm just north of mile marker 325.
Or
if you pass an exit, a bridge, a landmark.
Yep.
I don't know. You know, we're 30 minutes north of Sacramento and there's a huge wind farm. Like, pay attention to something. At least they have an area. But that, until I was a cop, because it's a part of your training, is you have to know all the cross streets of the area you work in, the 100 blocks. And so as you're driving around, your FTO would say, where are we right now? And you better know we're at 14th Street and Elwood or whatever it is. You have to know, because if you get in a foot pursuit, or you just have to know to get on that radio. And so I thought, man, how many civilians driving to work know exactly where they're at, or at least an idea?
No, fucking Siri tells them.
Well, and might not always have access to that stuff,
but bring your phone up. That's where we're getting lazy.
Look around, because I'll tell you what, when I was going into work one day, these two cars shot past me south on the highway, and one car kept driving. One car lost control.
Oh, shit.
It shot up an off-ramp, went over a car like Dukes of Hazzard, rolled and landed on its wheels.
What?
And I thought, holy shit. So I was in my Jeep. I pulled over. I was in my uniform, but I had a button-over shirt on. And so I ran over to the guy, and he was okay, but I was actually kind of pissed at him. And luckily for me, I was kind of zoned out and wasn't paying attention to where I was at, because you're in that mode, you're listening to music or whatever. But there was an overpass that had a sign hanging down.
Great.
And it gave all the exits. And I was like, oh, thank God I got lucky, because I was able to get on 911 and say, hey, I'm on the 101 South, just past whatever exit.
Right.
And it happens. We all zone out. And even someone who's trained, and it's part of my job, you still are thinking about something or zone out.
Sure.
So just in general, know where you're at. And it's difficult these days because we have GPSs. We have maps on our phones. And how many people, like when you and I were growing up, we had to know how to get somewhere.
Right.
You drive down this street, turn left at this street. Go, you know, now it's just plug in an address.
Yeah, you kept that book of each state, the maps, and then it graduated to shout out to MapQuest. Let's see how many people remember MapQuest.
Oh yeah, remember printing that shit out?
Hell
dude.
Yeah, man! I don't know how we did that. If you think about it, people bitch about distracted drivers, but here we are holding the MapQuest paper. We're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. You could have some fucking fold-out lap and shit and starting to drive. And like,
these kids are spoiled. In 100 feet, turn left.
Exactly. Or just we would learn how to drive around
your area.
You just learned. Exactly. Like, I knew how to get to all my buddies' houses and my girlfriend's house. And you used to tell people, hey, go down this highway, take this exit. You're going to go 3 blocks. Okay.
You know the 7-Eleven on the corner? Yeah, turn right. You
turn
know,
there, yeah.
Grab me a Slurpee on your way. That's cool.
So practice that, you know, even when you're going to work or whatever. I know it's a little bit overboard, but it is a mental exercise. It does add to a situation awareness piece. That's a huge, if you're traveling somewhere, the road trip thing is most applicable to most of our listeners. Look at the weather. You know, if I'm driving from California to Colorado to visit my mom, I'm looking at the weather. You know, what time of year is it? Oh, maybe there's a windstorm blowing through. Maybe, you know what? It's faster to take the northern route, but there's a storm sweeping through. So I'm going to take the southern route because it's clear.
Smart. So,
it's, you know.
Also, too, in mobility survival and you know, we'll get into some of the other stuff. Some of the good things I've learned is, you know, each one of your family members, you should definitely have a passport. It's just something you got to keep your eyes on, make sure they're current, make sure even your youngest. It's just, you never know, right?
Yeah.
Also, bug out bags, a lot of people forget a fucking bar of soap. You know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
If you start, bacteria is bad, guys. Bacteria.
Yeah, it is. Kill you. Well, and a toothbrush and toothpaste is actually a good survival item because your mouth will turn to shit quick. Serious,
because I mean,
even in the
shit.
Field, even in the field, man, a toothbrush was always
a
thing. You'll
way.
See guys, even if you're just pouring like fresh water on it.
Oh yeah,
because when your gums, your mouth hurts, you can get all types of fucking infection.
Yeah.
Mouth's a filthy place, so a way to clean off, even if it's not a bar of soap, just some baby wipes to clean your crotch, your armpits, your face, obviously not in that order. Even just some fresh wipes, man. It cleans you up. You'll see how dirty it is. Like, holy shit. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Also, too, is mobility survival. I think because of today's society of everyone's fucking balls deep on their phone, even when they walk around, situational awareness is gone to shit.
Yeah.
So, again, people need to start practicing. You go in the movie theater, you go in the restaurant, you should identify all exits, all routes of, degress.
That's an everyday survival thing, man.
Hotels, you know, use some common sense. I know people love to be on the top floor because you have the best view, but is it the best in situations? Probably not. Ladders only go to about 10 stories.
You want to be on the second or third floor, ideally.
Exactly.
Anytime something bad happens, it's usually the first floor. But you also want to be able to maybe tie some bed sheets together, so you don't want to be on the seventh floor.
Yeah.
Things like that are little things that sound silly until something happens. And then you're like, hey, dude, we're on the second floor. We can jump from here into the bushes, or I can jump 20 feet and probably maybe get hurt a little bit, but still survive if there's a fire. You know, it's little things that you'll notice. People who have been trained in the military, you ask experts like Mike Glover or whoever, like, what floor do you stay on? Clint Emerson, what floor would you stay on if you're in a 50, you're in Vegas and it's a 15 story hotel?
Yeah.
They're not on the 15th floor and they're not on the first floor.
Even the president doesn't stay up that high.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
There's reasons for all that. It's all precautions because 100%, that's all survival. This stuff sounds silly, but when it happens, you'll be like, I wish I had at least thought about this stuff. And if you're in a little mini tribe, right, your family, you got to talk to them about that so that they know, if something happens, this is what we're going to do. Now, you don't have to freak them out.
No, you don't have to. 4 year old,
but you have to say, listen, if this happens, then, you know, we need just there's ways to introduce it so that at least there's an idea, concept of operations. You know, what's going to happen if we get in a car accident? What's going to happen if the hotel's on fire? And it's not overboard. These are all things that are gradually kind of taught to your family.
Yeah.
What to do, and you don't want to give them this big old fucking Delta Force fucking mission brief, and they're like, "Holy shit, we're just going to Disneyland. What's all this shit about hotel fires?" You know,
typically, if I go stay with the hotel and the family, I'll say, you know, I'm going down to get a cocktail, which is true, but I don't take the elevator. You got to go see the route, right? So you go identify the stairs, you know, count how many flights going down, and see how far it is from your room, right? Because look. Fires happen. Guess what? You're on your knees. You'll be disorientated. You know, a lot of people use, you know, if they hear gunfire, people are rushed.
People want to go look for the gunfire. Exactly. They'll open their doors and windows and
so
dude, common sense stuff.
Walk your route, you know, especially if you're in charge of your family. It's, you know, you got to take the lead and get them out. So know what that
is. I always used to brief my kid, listen, if mommy catches daddy with a hooker, you need to run down to the front desk and have him call 911 because I'll be getting stabbed.
Oh, fucking A, right? You would be getting stabbed. Holy
just kidding.
That is so, it's funny because it's true, right? But also, too, in today's lack of awareness, and this, I think this bothers me the most is how many people walk down the street and they're literally their eyes are on their phone.
Get off your phone.
But you know, this is why we're seeing a rise in crimes, you know, because they know that people don't have this situation.
Not paying attention.
So even when you're using your phone, you know, just if you're gonna be down, make sure your back's against the wall, you know, look around, see what's coming, you know, who's
my advice is if you're in public, put that shit in your pocket or your purse or whatever. Walk with a purpose, and then when you get to where you're going, coffee shop, work, whatever, the gym, then you can break it out. You're in a safe environment for the most part. I mean, someone can still jack you in the gym, most likely try to steal your phone or something. But when you're out and about in public, you know, I tell my daughter, just there's always enough time. Always
enough
time.
Especially for a female.
Well, they're looking for that.
Oh, my gosh.
A little single young female on her phone walking. Dude, that's a criminal's dream right there. Like, oh, this chick's all, even if they just want to snatch your phone and trade it for fucking meth or whatever.
Yes. No, it's
you leave the store, whatever it is, put that shit away and look around, and you'll be surprised at how, if you make eye contact with someone, they just kind of back off because they don't want to be remembered or recognized.
Oh yeah, very powerful. Just to keep your head on a swivel and your eyes on a swivel,
And that confidence too. You know, they want to prey on who they perceive as weak.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can walk the walk, if you just walk tall, chest out, confident,
they want
around,
an easy mark. They want that.
No, they want the little old lady or the old couple or the you know, they're just the cowards are looking for what they perceive to be weak, even if they're not weak. Maybe the old couple's packing some 45s and they'll fucking
here in Texas. I'm more scared of the old guys. I know.
Well, look at that church shooter got dropped by an old dude. Was he like 70 or something?
That was like a 25-yard shot.
Headshot. He was cute, yeah. Though. He goes, before you guys give me too much credit, I was aiming for the body.
Well, whatever. I think he was being modest, dude. He was like a Jedi.
That's
a
good headshot, man. He sniped that fucking dude. So, but hey, that's kind of a thing, too. If you're in a place where you can carry a gun...
Carry.
You know, I believe that's everyone's choice, and I respect there's some people that just don't like guns, don't feel comfortable around them. I get it. But look, in that case, that dude felt comfortable. He was packing, even in church, and he kept a lot of people from dying that day. So if you're that type of person, male or female, dude, go for it. I think it's your responsibility, because you can solve a lot of problems, a lot of survival situations, too, by the way, as far as defending yourself. Against animals, maybe hunting, getting a food source, depending on the scenario that we're building up. Firearms, I used to carry, even in the Navy, I had it was called a Bobcat. It was a Ruger 22. I think it was called the Bobcat. And a box of 50 rounds of 22 is nothing. And I kept that in a fanny pack so that if I ran out of ammo, my M60 broke, whatever it is, I had a little pistol that could shoot 50 bullets. I could sneak up on a sentry and pop them and take their gun. I could hunt squirrels with it. I could maybe if they have dogs tracking me and I'm about to get bit, I could pop the dog and the bean with it. And it was nothing in a little plastic bag and a fanny pack. And it's a gun that shoots 50 bullets. Tiny.
That's a fantastic tip. Honestly.
A little tiny 22, man. I mean, no, I just kept that in a little fanny pack.
That really does. Wow. I like that one. Let's talk about some financial survival.
Oh, it's a Beretta. Sorry.
Oh, Beretta. Okay. That's good. Okay.
Beretta Bobcat. 22. It was called the Bobcat, I think. So
I love it. Well, you know, I'm going to be Googling that after that. Again, interesting times. We're talking about inflation, the highest since 1982, which is, it should be concerning. People should be concerned about this.
Inflation takes a while to turn around too. It's not like, just flip it. It takes years to turn that battleship about. Yeah.
Yeah. And by no means is Clark and I, you know, financial advisors working on Wall Street, but
you know, spent all my money on drugs and hookers.
It's kind of scary. We're talking about financial survival.
I did diversify though.
But there are some things that you could do. You know, for example, you know, watch where your money lives. You know, if your money's at the bank earning X percent, but inflation's at Y percent, in actuality, you could be losing money. So you almost want to keep an eye on that. Again, you could read up on different areas on what's more inflation, recession proof, but just don't assume because your money in the bank is going to make you money during a down market. That's no bueno. Another thing. Inflation, stock up on food and household supplies.
Yes.
Why? Yep. Because the prices keep increasing, and we're seeing this.
We're already seeing it.
I mean, the commodities, eggs, milk, cheese, beef, poultry.
It's expensive, man.
Month over month, it keeps going up and up. So, you know,
Inflation's creepy because it doesn't just jump in your face. It's just, keeps growing and growing.
It's growing.
And then you realize, you know, I think... If this inflation were to continue 10 years from now, everything would be double. That's crazy. And it sounds like, oh, that's so far away. No, it's not.
Wait, here's a financial survival.
Hopefully it won't, you know.
Or tip is go get yourself a vacuum sealer, okay? Because if you're going to go buy food from Costco, Sam's, or things like that, dude, fucking vacuum seal the shit out of it. Put in the freezer because if you're buying chicken this month at X, 4 months from now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be pricey.
Yeah. So people don't think about that. And trust me, you're better off planning versus bitching when you see your receipt. Because I can tell you right now, our family of four, I went to Costco yesterday and I could easily say the same shit we would get every month was $75 more.
Oh, yeah. For
That's
sure,
That's fucked
man.
Up. That is it's fucked quick. Up.
Gas prices, food prices. I'm watching my monthly bills just increase. Like, holy. And I don't have, excuse me, a whole lot of wiggle room between what I bring in and what I spend on food and bills and
Boba
stuff
Fett,
like that.
Boba Fett.
I just got a second one in, man.
Did you?
Rearmored, but I'm leaving it boxed up.
Oh, that's awesome.
But hey, one thing I wanted to, excuse me, Ah, a little froggy today. The one thing I wanted to mention is how many people even carry cash on them. You know, it could be very easy. There's a scenario. I'm always kind of secretly hoping we go down like the Road Warrior path. So most of my scenarios are kind of Mad Max-ish. But,
yeah,
you know, if something happens, how many of us, all of our shit's wrapped up in plastic? Your debit card, your credit card.
Yep.
Do you have an envelope of $300 at least hidden somewhere in your house or your gun safe or whatever it is? So that shit, maybe it's just a glitch in the system or something, or it gets hacked, right? North Korea hacks our fucking whatever. Yep. And so for it's going to take them 3 days to get that, whatever the fuck it is. So at least if you have some cash, but also the barter system, you know, 100%. Whether you have some fucking gold coins or something, or just
booze, cigarettes.
Well, yeah, booze, cigarettes. You can trade for stuff. It sounds funny, but let's say you're trying to scoot somewhere to check on your mom, and just people always trade for a bottle of whiskey or a pack of cigarettes or cans of chew. It sounds silly, but it's just stuff to think about. Stuff that most people don't think about. Like, well, what happens if something does go wrong with these debit cards for a few days? What do I have on hand? Do I have cash? Do I have, you know?
It's actually not silly, because the assumption is based, if something goes wrong with your card, who even knows that cash still has a value?
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
I'll tell you what does have a value is booze, stuff. Cigarettes, and stuff. Wait, Clark, what's the real secret ingredient? With
porn,
burning?
Bro.
Porn.
Dude, I will tell you.
Yes.
I got a lot of places overseas with nudie mags, especially if you go into countries like Muslim countries where porn's banned. There's a huge, the military guys, they would always ask us, do you have any porno CDs? Do you have any porno magazines? Because a soldier's a soldier. Sorry if it offends you, but a soldier's a soldier. And so you go to a Muslim country where they can't get porn easily, that's the first thing they're asking for. You know what you can get with like a Playboy magazine or a Penthouse? Almost anything you want.
The
barter system. It works. It was usually we would trade it for beer. I'll be honest with you, most likely, but we trade it for ammo, trade it for weapons at times. You know what I mean? You want to throw away AK to roll low profile? They'll shit you a fucking AK and several magazines loaded with ammo for two magazines or a CD porn. You know, fucking old Jenna Jameson got me a lot of ammo over the days.
Oh, well, the classic ones, the
old
school originals.
Jenna.
Yeah. Before all the
Casey
surgeries,
Lane,
yeah.
Jenna Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's at least two AKs. That's two AKs.
Oh, yeah. With the fucking drum magazine, 100-round drum, dude.
Fuck, I'd love it.
But it sounds fun. Also, if you're going to survive in the woods, laminate your porn, man. You know what I mean? Cut out your favorite pictures, laminate them. That way, if it rains, you're not like, dude.
Or vacuum seal them.
Yeah. But that is, I mean, it's funny, but that's the barter system.
There's truth in everything we're saying here. Also, too, during times of you know, recession or inflation, you know, the question is, can you do a side hustle? It might be a couple hours on the weekend, but there's plenty of things you could potentially earn just based on your knowledge skills. You know, I'm sure if Clark was back here in Texas, he'd probably be running some classes, you know, and some firearm classes, and that's an extra side hustle for him. And so just look at what your skill sets are, or what people would be willing to pay you for a couple hours on the weekend. People don't think about that. Or fuck, I know people that drive Uber, Lyft, a couple hours.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah, something.
Also, pay attention to your adjustable interest rates. Anything unsecured or unsecured credit card debt is definitely vulnerable to interest rates. And as the interest rates increase, it's going to put stress on your dollars. Then it puts stress on your family. So
Big time.
Also, don't pay fucking retail. In a down market, why the refuse to pay fucking retail? Go to eBay, go to resale shops, you know, go to garage sales. Why the fuck would you buy a new pair of jeans for your kid when you could go get a hand-me-down from family or friends, or go to the thrift
Goodwill
store?
Goodwill.
There's, you know, little things like that. Clark covered the trading goods for services, which could still...
And trading skill sets for stuff, too. Hey, man, I'll teach you to shoot if you give me five gallons of gas, or, you know, whatever it is.
Or look, food, you know, or... let's say you need a repair. Hey, man, can you fix my deck, and I'll build you a new website, or I'll give you training.
Yeah, for sure.
You could be doing that whole exchange bartering system right now without spending any money.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I do it all the time, you know, with, you know, either free consulting or things like that. You know, they may have some, you know.
Dude, I have a cardboard sign that says hand jobs for ammo.
Oh.
Well, I'll glove up and to make you happy as fuck, give me a box of 509 mil. Put on that fucking dentist glove.
What is the minute rate to ammo ratio? Is it 15 minutes for 100 rounds or?
Oh no, it's just till completion. Whenever you're
a good man.
Whenever you splooge, bro, with 30 seconds to 30 minutes, I'm earning that box of ammo. I will not disappoint you.
Wow. You heard it right there, folks. you know, it's another good one.
Handjob.com/Clark.
and you could find it next to our app. You remember what was
it? Maybe we make an app for that.
We copy
call it Handyman.
Oh my gosh, Handyman. I love it.
/Clark.
Would it be weird if it became like the editor's pick at Apple?
How'd you guys become millionaires? Well, we don't like to talk about it.
We had a different meaning for Handyman. It just caught on.
Yeah, we became real popular. It was weird.
Also, pay attention to reoccurring bills. A lot of us sign up for shit.
Oh, yeah. You forget about it.
Forget about it. But you know what? If you ever...
They have apps that look for that shit, too, and will remind you, like, hey, dude, why are you paying, you know, 15 bucks a month?
Well, it's amazing.
Handyman.com. You got a reoccurring
subscription. Well, dude, it's anything from, like, Hulu to your phone to magazines to porn to, you know...
Even your kids might be... Give for video games, you know, hey, I need some more fucking little. And so,
oh, yeah,
kids can rack up hidden bills. You're like, what the fuck is all this iTunes shit? You know, make sure. Dude,
that's a good one. Yeah, no, exactly.
And they don't realize, you know, now you have a $400 bill from iTunes.
Oh, like, I would kill.
Oh, yeah, phone would be gone at that point.
Oh, fuck. And they would be working that off.
Picking up dog shit for life.
My son recently, he's only six, but you know, at that age, they're in the back seat and they love fucking putting their feet up against the back seat. So I tell him, I go, you do it and you get daddy's car dirty. I'm going to your lounge and I'm going to take your lounge, clean the car.
Yeah, dude.
That's exactly, you want to keep shit. Doing it. Yeah, guess what? Yeah. Then you're going to show you there's a cost to clean it. Fucking A. But I think it gets back to like old school principles here. That's what we're kind of talking about completely from, you know, building shit, learning to build shit in the woods or being financial. Yeah. But we need to get back to the days of, you know, of basically our relatives from the Depression. Reduce the waste, become resourceful, and be frugal. Okay.
And also how to be a force multiplier, like food.
Yes.
Imagine when they were cooking for a family of 10, what do? Canning. They added a lot of like rice and breads to shit.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, well, it's, you know.
How many people know how to make their own bread? So this shit is gone wayside. And these are.
And there's so much information out there, so many classes out there. So just hard times hit. How are you going to feed your family? Well, fucking, I'm going to learn to make my own bread. I'm going to learn to.
It's cheaper too. Whatever. It's delicious. We actually have some going right now. For Super Bowl, we're baking homemade hot pretzels because you got to have hot soft pretzels.
Yeah, dude.
So
that's awesome. Oh, hey, I forgot something in the mobility thing that just popped up. Sorry. Always have an empty gas can in your car so that in case you, and also a hose so you can siphon some shit. Especially if we're back in Clarky's world of Mad Max and you're jacking people's shit. Yep. You got to survive or whatever. Know how to safely siphon gas. So have a little hose, have a thing, but mainly just a good empty gas can so that someone can drive you to a gas station and back or whatever.
Do you think you could pull off a siphon jack? You got one hose in this hand, hose in the other.
Oh,
that would be talent. Honestly.
You ever seen a clown juggle? Easy day, man. Give me something hard to do, man.
I love you. Let's talk.
You can rub one out in Baghdad, man. You can do it anywhere, man.
No shit, right? Let's talk about the mental aspect of it, because, you know, I think a lot of people think of mental survival like, oh, shit, you know, I'm lost in the woods or there's an unfortunate airplane accident. But people are failing to realize that mental survival is needed now because, again, we're still into the bullshit, the fear, the politics, the COVID, all the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
More than ever right now, mental survival is all about staying positive. Obviously, the future is unknown. And you need to stress what's important to you and focus what's important to you, which is family, friends, and a positive mental attitude.
You have to become a critical thinker. You got to start making some good decisions in any oh shit scenario, no matter how small or big. Say you just a fender bender in a parking lot.
Yeah.
You got to start thinking. you know, and so it could be worse. It could be a severe car accident. It could be stuck somewhere. It could be someone's kicking your door in at 2 a.m. or it could be Clarky's Mad Max scenario. Like, holy shit, shit's going to shit. They got highways blocked. How am I going to go check on my mom in Colorado? How do I get there? So whatever it is, all this stuff going on with pandemics, lockdowns, war with Russia, China, whatever doomsday scenario people want to throw at you. It all comes down to critical thinking. Yep. And part of critical thinking is what Ryan and I are trying to do for you guys, is to spark thought, yep, not to go down any rabbit holes, not to get paranoid. But in today's world, I never thought these last 2 years would be like these last 2 years. There was some weird shit going on, and it got people thinking. Some people, a lot of people, just bitched up and were scared and were glued to the TV and were fed a bunch of shit, got paranoid about the wrong things, distracted from the real situation with the little shiny objects. And so you have to become a critical thinker in any scenario. Pull yourself back.
Well said.
See who the players are and who can I trust? Who's full of shit? There are always people who will capitalize on a bad situation, just politicians. But look, when there are these big fires, there's people that go in and burglarize these homes because they know that whole neighborhood's evacuated and they'll go in there and they'll steal shit from their house. And so there's it's just human nature that there's a small portion of the population, politicians specifically, that will capitalize on emergency situations.
Sure. And so never let a crisis go to waste is the saying, right?
Yeah. Straight from Pelosi's mouth. Yeah. It's sad. Yeah. But that's why you got to become a critical thinker, whether it's political turmoil, neighborhood turmoil, family turmoil. That's the time when you got to really be sharp, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Also, during those times of difficulty or the stress we're talking about, the mental survival, there's two things also really to focus on. Is one, always accept the situation. Don't run from it. Don't deny it. Don't avoid it.
Denial's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Accept it. You're in the shit. Okay.
Fuck.
Accept it.
Here we are. Yeah.
And then two, focus on the things within your control.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. So yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you can only do so much, right? So, for example,
and plan your way out of it. Come up with a plan. You got to say, okay, fuck, this happened.
Yes.
What the fuck am I going to do? Maybe you slid off a snowy road and you rolled your car down a hill. You're okay, but you're alone and you can't find your cell phone. Fuck, I got to walk out of here. Okay, I'm not hurt. This is the critical thinking part. Okay, nothing's broken.
Yep.
Fuck, I kind of know where I'm at because I've been going down this road. I'm just going to start walking. I know I'm 10 miles from town. Fuck, that sucks. I can sit here and cry about it.
Yep.
Or, hey, luckily I have my winter jacket on. I'll be all right. I'm just going to start walking. Maybe I'll see a car and flag them down. If not, and then, the sooner I start walking, instead of just sitting here and worried about, oh, my God, look at my car. Oh, you know, it's about making that plan. Okay, like you said, don't deny the situation. This is what's happened. That's okay. I'm okay. What am I gonna do? A lot of people will just not know what to do and sit there and panic.
deer in headlights.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Oh, that's tons.
Most of the people would just sit there, you know.
Look at the sheeple because of COVID. Tons of deers in the headlights. Just tell us what to do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
fuck that. It's
especially a dynamic situation like a car accident. People just freeze. They don't know what to do.
Yep.
That's when you got to train yourself to become a critical thinker.
Well, it's also too, like the prior example we were just talking about with inflation. It's like, okay, accept the situation. It's fucking here, guys. Focus on the things you can control. Well, you can't. You're not the one writing policy. You're not the president. You're not the elected officials all over the world. So what can you control with it? And you got to apply those two principles to anything. And I always thought that was always some good guidance. Also, another secret is misery loves company, but the truth is avoid fucking negative people. They suck.
Oh yeah, dude.
They're not good vibes. You know,
that will make any situation. That'll make a good situation suck.
But there are people, you know what I mean? Think about it. Everyone, you know, we kid and we jest and things like this, but there are people that will literally get together and talk on how bad this economy is, how bad life is and how bad this job is.
Oh,
and they
for
just
sure,
love
yeah.
commiserating together. But dude, what
misery
is happening
loves company,
there?
Yeah.
But that's so
horrible.
You kill those people. Those are probably some of your biggest threats.
They're the first person you eat in the scenario.
Fucking A. I honestly, God dang it, Johnny.
God damn, dude. You keep complaining. You're the first thing. Hey, go to sleep, buddy. You look tired.
Yeah.
Why do you want me to go? Don't worry about it. Clark, I'll be over here sharpening my knife.
Should we roast them, barbecue them, or saute them?
You know a creepy thing we learned in military training? I can't remember exactly where it was. I want to blame Seer School, but that's not fair. The healthiest part to eat on a human are the back straps along the spine.
Huh.
The most protein, the most nutrients. And I thought, dude, that's fucking weird.
That sounds like it didn't come from a Seer School. It came from like one of Hannibal Lecter movies.
Yeah. Well, they talked about that in a survival situation. You might have to eat a motherfucker. You know what I mean? If they're dead and they did on that alive scenario when they crashed they had to eat people to survive. And so
look at the Donner part of party, knowing, right?
You know, what's that?
The Donner Party, right?
Yeah, 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 dude. It's kind of a weird, creepy scenario. Well, I don't know. I thought I'd throw that tidbit out there.
Let's move on to some community survival, and this is important because, again, during tough times, like we just said, you know, you do not want to build a community of negative people, but you're going to have to build.
Let's say during a food crisis, financial crisis, maybe you get together with your neighbors and say, guys, look. Dude over there can grow some fucking wicked vegetables. Mm-hmm. You're going to do this. And then, you know, maybe you have the sweet old lady that is widowed and lives home. Hey, we're going to check on you every day. We're going to bring you a meal a day.
Yes.
Like, be that positive leader that comes up with the plan, depending on what community you live in. My neighbors are all terrified of me. I have no idea why. But, you know, maybe you just grew up in a small town in Nebraska and you know everybody. But knock on doors and be that positive person. And we're talking about inflation. There might be a time where the shelves are fucking empty.
Yeah.
So you have to say, hey, look, this dude over here has a bunch of chickens. We're going to eat his eggs. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, again, people think of these survival scenarios or these, like you're talking about, these Mad Max, and think it's going to be them against the world. But the real smart people will have these micro communities where everyone has roles. Like, hey, you have a military background. You're going to run our emergency response team. You're the farmer dude. Guess what, Doc?
Who's got medical training? We have nurse, doctor, medic, whatever. Oh, okay, that dude.
So absolutely, you think that way, but also too on a level too, like if you bring it down to your family for every day, that is your community. Some of the things is, you know, you should definitely have family roles and make sure they're clear. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times roles aren't clear. You know, I know there's mom, there's dad, and like good cop, bad cop, but roles should be clear. Just like in the military, there's a hierarchy. Sure. Roles are clear.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I think also what's very important for the community's survival is one, comms. They better be open and honest with each other, always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people are not open and honest, even with their family. Like, I'm sure we all know people, like, maybe medically something's wrong, and they just wait to that last moment, be like, and it drops a bomb on you. Instead of being upfront, like, guys, this is what I'm going through. This could be the reality. Yeah. How are we going to get through this? So keeping people in the dark is probably one of the worst things you could ever do.
And sometimes people come up with ideas to help you and you're like, holy shit, that's amazing. I never thought of that. But a lot of stuff, we're embarrassed. I know early on people were embarrassed to admit they had COVID. Why? But people get embarrassed. They don't communicate well.
Yeah.
Real quick before I forget too. Sorry, things just are popping in.
Do it.
In like a dynamic situation, you got to delegate shit because a lot of people are going to be standing around. That's we talked about deer in the headlights.
That's the rule.
So maybe it's your car's broken down in the middle of the road in the middle of the night and it's dark out. So maybe you give your teenager a flashlight and say, hey, go down the road and wave this flashlight to tell people to slow down or, you know, be able to quarterback that shit.
Absolutely.
It's a critical thinking piece, but delegating stuff in any type of scenario is huge.
100%. Also, too, it's, you know, it's this one is a little tougher for, I'm not trying to be gender biased, things like this, but for guys, it's just historically, but it is very important in community survival you need to express and validate emotions and concerns. You know, it's all right to say, dude, I'm fucking really pissed off right now. And I fucking hate the situation we're in. Because if you bottle that in, then you have ticking time bombs on your team.
Yeah, you don't, good point. Yeah.
You're fighting the enemy externally. You don't need enemies internally. So having that team atmosphere where you could say something and people aren't going to fucking laugh and judge you, you got to create that environment. It's very important.
Yeah, yep, good point.
And also, we've seen this in COVID. We see friends, unfortunately, veterans. Unfortunately, during down and dark times, people resort to isolation.
Yeah.
You have to avoid isolation. You got a buddy check.
Keep engaged, man. Yeah.
Bring them into your tribe. Yeah. You know, it's probably one of the most dangerous things. And it's because people don't realize this too shall pass. But it'll be easier for it to pass if we're all in it as a unit versus you being alone.
Well, we are a community-based species. You know, we're not meant to be alone. We have to have interaction. And so you'll see that in any type of scenario, there will be people that just kind of tend to shell up, keep those people engaged, give them something to do, verbally interact with them, give them ideas. You know, the more everyone's engaged and on the same page, whatever the scenario may be, family, community, crazy situation, it's going to be better if everyone's actively involved. Don't let someone just kind of, you know, which is like you said, great point. During COVID, we all isolated. Everyone got a little weird. Everyone's drinking went way up. Everyone started eating shit. You know, the COVID-20, COVID-15, people gaining weight. Yeah. Horrible. Stay active, stay engaged in any scenario. Even with your family, we go on walks all the time as a family. Yesterday, I did my little ruck walk and brought my daughter with me. I mean, that's just engaging instead of allowing her to melt on the couch, hovering over her phone. Like, hey, come walk with me. Like, oh, okay. They're all happy to.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that they're kind of fading into the shadows. And so whether it's a day-to-day thing with family or a crisis situation, the more you keep people engaged, especially someone who's wounded, maybe bleeding out or in shock, you want to keep them engaged. You want to keep them mentally in the moment, not just kind of drift off into, you know, never land. So depending on the severity of the situation, the formula is the same.
No, well said. Also, too, I think it's very important for, you know, in these type of survival or just even every week with your family every day is if you are communicating, make sure you're sharing real and factual information. Too many people try to sugarcoat shit.
Yeah.
And you know, it always ends up blowing up in your face because, you know, when you finally drop that bomb on someone, it's like, what the fuck, man? I mean, most humans, I mean, are better off dealing with bad news if you're just straight up honest with them.
Well, you know? And it's okay to not know. You don't have to up an answer or spread some bullshit. I think half of the problem with the media and politics is no one can admit they just don't know, like COVID. We don't fucking know.
Yeah, they just fucking like, say that.
Oh, this is where it came from and this is what it's going to do. And they're just making shit up instead of just saying, guys, we don't fucking know, but we're going to figure it out. We're working on it. And
we'll figure this out together.
But it also, you know, scale that down to the individual. Don't bullshit your family, you know, just it's okay to not know everything and say, look, you know, I don't really know, but I'm trying to figure that out. As soon as I know, everybody knows. Or to me, that was the biggest sign of a good leader in the military, law enforcement, people just I've met, trained with, whatever, is that they're human and they're not going to know everything. But as humans, we hate to admit that and we will pretend to know everything. That's social media is a bunch of motherfuckers pretending to know everything about fitness, pretending to know everything about finances, pretending to know everything about. And you and I have talked about that before. We know some of these people. They're more fucked up than, you know, I don't know what.
Yeah.
What parallel? I was going to say some inappropriate stuff, but anyway.
That stopped you before.
Oh, now he has a filter. Okay.
Yeah. Now it's.
I don't want to get kicked off Spotify, dude.
That's right. We.
I'm sorry for things I said 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, it's okay to not know, man. I mean, that's
no,
and I don't know, but I will find out, or I'm working on it right now, or, you know, it's okay. And I think that's a big thing is we just bullshit people.
We do.
Giving them the impression that everything's okay and that we know. You know, it's and dude, by you admitting you don't know something, maybe someone else pipes up that knows. It says, hey, fuck, I know.
Well, a lot of people like, think it's a weakness, but think about it just like a briefing before a mission. Like, would you want a guy on your team lying or saying he knows?
Well, yeah, imagine your pilot is giving you an insert, and you're like, hey, are there any anti-aircraft capabilities near the target? No, definitely not.
Yeah,
and
no,
it's like, motherfucker, how about, you know what? I didn't think of that. I don't know. And then you call the intel dude and there's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of a silly example, but just if you don't know or you just forgot to think about it, then just say, oh, shit, that's a good question. Hey, do you know if we do? Yes, no, okay, whatever. I mean, it's probably someone in the room does know the answer to that question, you know?
That's why I think one of the sayings I hate the most is fake it till you make it. Fake it till
oh, God.
Dude, guess what?
You ain't going to make it if you're faking it. I'll tell you that. People that fake it till they make it never make it.
Well, they exactly. You keep this facade going, and let's say you are lucky, you do make it, but then
you get holes punched in that real quick.
Well,
do you ever see those memes like when you lied about getting the job, or when you lied about your resume but got the job anyway, or some shit?
Yep.
And it shows silly scenarios, you know, like whatever. But it's true. Like you'll get people in certain positions because they faked it, they lied, whatever.
Well, then it's a house of cards. And that's what
happens, imagine if I go to a jiu-jitsu tournament and claim I'm a black belt. What do you think the outcome's going to be? The dude's going to twist me up and snap me in half like a pretzel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
But plenty of people lie on their resume, man. When you lied on your resume but got the job anyway. I love
even
those
to moves. That point, what would be the benefit to faking it to make it? So here you are talking about, oh, I'm a black belt. But for what? Because you know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah.
When you're finally called out.
Yeah,
and the test
and you will.
Comes
the way
down.
Life works. You will at some point get called out, you know, in any scenario, not just that one. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, don't.
That's, you know,
don't
whether
fake
you claim
it till you make it.
No,
don't,
that's horrible.
If
good
you're
point.
Do
man,
something,
then
know,
do it.
Go through the adversity, go through the trials,
earn that
build
shit.
Character, and then you'll get there. I mean,
don't
God
fake it till you make it. How about this concept? Earn it. Do
ooh,
it. Earn it.
No
just fucking
shit.
Earn it, man.
Amen. On that note. Well, you know what? We do have some recommendations. There's a lot of good material out there to follow up. Again, we could go on and on and on, but, I know a few, so, Clark's going to mention a few. I got, you know, there's a book called Bushcraft 101.
Nice.
Is a good guide. We always love our 100 deadly skills. As
yes.
Clark mentioned earlier, the SAS handbook's a good one. What are some other ones, Clark?
See, I was looking for some of the shit I have around.
There's a Ranger handbook.
Yeah, all that stuff's good. One of the things I want to is books and stuff are good, but if it's kind of new to you, even if it's not, it's good to refresh that stuff. I tell you, when I was active duty, the SAS survival guide was amazing, and I would always photocopy certain sections and keep them like in a little sandwich Ziploc bag, so it was somewhat,
that's a good
know,
tip.
That way, just because sometimes you forget shit or you need a refresher or, hey, I'm going to practice this. I'm going to practice building underground fires, or I'm going to practice, you know, whatever it is. And so I would always kind of prepare what I think was going to happen or certain environments, cold or desert, whatever. So I would make photocopies of it because it's a pretty thick book. I think they make a field version of it now that's smaller.
Yep.
Books are great, but especially if you're unfamiliar with these things, take some classes.
Mm.
And I'm not trying to pimp a buddy or anything, but Fieldcraft Survival, some SF dudes in Arizona, they have overnight courses, 3-day courses, 7-day courses, mobility courses, how to fucking, you want to learn to shoot a bow and arrow,
they'll make
you
want to
hunt or whatever. Dude, they will. I mean, they
I
got all
shit,
these
right?
classes for sure. So for some people, you know, hey, maybe I've just been a business dude my whole life and I never even been camping.
Yep.
You know, reading a book. It's, no. You know, it'd be like me reading a book about the stock market. I wouldn't know what the fuck they're talking about. So there's plenty of classes. And don't just watch YouTube videos and stuff. If you're truly interested about the topic that Ryan and I have discussed, there's plenty in every state.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a group of dudes or some outdoorsy guys, you know, these extreme outdoor guys that put on.
There's prepper clubs. They'll go over this shit too.
Well, you know? Be careful. You got to. Yeah. Be careful.
You're
with,
right. That could be a slippery
you can,
slope.
You can get into some creepy white people shit. You know what I mean? It's if you stick with, and you'll know, man. I mean, if you find a website and stuff and it's like these backyard hillbilly fucking survivalists, you know, I mean, hey, if that's your thing, go for it. For me, you know, you can find a group of SF dudes or something. To me,
yes.
I think SF dudes are probably the most skilled outdoorsmen in the military just based on their mission. They spend a lot of time in the field. So hat tip to the Green Berets, find some SF dudes. And I mean, just me throwing my fucking dart in one direction. You can't go wrong with a real SF guy that has a company that's going to say, hey, we do this and this is that.
Yep.
But there's plenty of options that way for sure. But there's nothing better than hands on. If you truly want to know, like, fuck, I think Clark and Ryan are right. Maybe I should just learn some basic shit in the woods in case you never know. Or maybe I do want to know how to what can happen on a road trip and how to pack a vehicle. And I want some mobility stuff. So take some classes, man.
Well, it's everything comes down to implementation, like you're talking about. So the advanced implementation might be, you know, taking that class. But if you just buy this fucking book, these are not books you read.
The book will teach you. Read it, but then actually do it, like in the backyard. Even if it's in your backyard, man, you can rub sticks together. You can dig a hole. Well, you can learn how to do a lean-to or whatever, you know, but actually physically do it so you have the confidence of, I've done this before.
Yep.
Not like I read about it and then 6 months from now you're in a scenario and you're like, damn, what? How do I do that thing? Do I tie it here or put it here or whatever it is?
Well, you know as well as I do, the shooting and a lot of other things involve muscle memory, so you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah. Till you do it.
Until you do it. So.
And the more times you do it, the better you get at it, and reoccurring refresher courses.
Amen.
You know? Yep. Don't forget to laminate your porn. I think of all the things we talked about, take two or three of your favorite pictures and laminate them.
Well, you caught me off guard with that because I gotta be honest. Mm-hmm. In all my bug out bags, I have zero porn. But what I've learned
based
on earning 2 AKs and mags for some porn. I gotta get to work.
You can trade that. Imagine if you run out of gas in Podunk, Kansas, and you don't have any money. But you got a stack of nudie mags.
Dude, nudie mags are going to
go
far.
You go in there and say, hey, Bubba, can I trade you a tank of gas for 5 of these nudie mags? And be like, well, goddamn there, city slicker. Shit.
Those are some city titties. City titties.
City titties, yeah. Look, our chicks take showers.
I love it. That's hilarious. All right, well, you know, we probably have time for either Dude's Court, some emails. Which one do you want to do?
I think we've gone long enough, man. I'm going to save the emails, man. You know what I mean? I think we've talked about a lot of good stuff. And sometimes I like when I save up the emails and we have just an episode of emails. It's kind of fun too. But sometimes it's fun to cap it. But I think, I don't even know how long we've gone. It seems like a while, which is good. I mean,
we like to keep our you know, about an hour and a half.
Little bite-sized chunks. Yeah, I don't want to.
The guest episodes could be long.
For sure. Well, especially in studio, you know, right? we'll get some longer episodes. But I think they got like probably 3 or 4 emails, but I'm going to save them because I kind of like what we've talked about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, you know, hopefully Vibe Tribe, you took a little bit of a nugget or, you know, maybe motivated to make yourself better. You know, again, I feel better because I know we're a community with the Vibe Tribe and we're all surviving,
man. We just want to get you guys thinking. That was the whole point of the episode. Just kind of think about stuff. The last couple of years has been weird. Is it going to get better, get worse? Mm-hmm. Don't get caught off guard. Basically, become a critical thinker. Whatever your personal situation is, you always have to think, how can I make this better? Whether it's financial, food-wise, family-wise, travel-wise, whatever it is, all we're trying to do is spark that critical thinking vibe out there. So that's all we want you guys to do, man.
Excellent.
Be safe and have some fun out there. And hopefully this show is coming to a pub near you soon in 2023. I got to be good this year.
I love it. On that note, Vibe Tribe, have a great week. Clarky, love you, buddy.
Love you, brother.
Later,
see you guys.
Bye.